I'm not certain where we were. I think about 80 miles south of Dejigori, and passing over into territories only recently taken into our hands, where our appearance was endured with the same stoicism as the earthquake. Not much cleaning up had gotten done, because the Shadow Master's henchmen had employed the locals in a vain attempt to blunt our advance. Brave fools. Now there was no one to bury them. Total paranoia hit me there. I was unaware of the fact because I was in the wagon, but we were just making camp. I was out scouting the maneuvers of Mugabe's cavalry and sitting in on his planning session for making our lives much more unpleasant at Charandaprash. I had a sneer in my heart. He would not have a single surprise for us. From having watched Lady and all the special forces she and Croker had put together, I knew we would have plenty for Mugabe. Bright man, he expected that. He got to know Croker pretty well before he deserted to the Shadow Master. Then the paranoia hit. Smugness evaporated. Had I been in flesh, I would have begun to shake as though suddenly thrown into an icy river. I knew I was not alone. I would have panicked except for the dullness of emotion out there. I did do a sort of sudden spin around on the spirit level. For a second, I thought I saw a face not directed my way. It was a face out of a collective nightmare, as big as a cow, the color of ripe eggplant. Its smile was all fangs, and it was smiling at whatever it saw. Its eyes were plates of fire that, at the same time, seemed to be pools of darkness capable of drowning souls. I withdrew, very carefully at first, but in full flight toward the safety of reality when the face seemed suddenly startled and began to turn. I emerged too terrified to be hungry or thirsty. I was shaking and babbling and making no sense at all. The old man was close by. One eye had him in the wagon by the time I got myself under control. What the hell happened, Mergen? You have some kind of fit? You going to start going away again on me? He touched me, felt the shakes that still went right down to the heart of me. One eye. I croaked out.
I just saw Kina. I don't know if she saw me.
Death is eternity. Eternity is stone. Stone is silence. Stone speaketh not, but stone doth remember. Deep within the dark heart of the gray fastness stands a massive throne of worm-eaten wood. This throne has shifted sideways and tilted dramatically. A dark shape sprawls upon the throne, locked in enchanted slumber, nailed down by silver daggers driven through its limbs. Its once vacant face is drawn in agony. The figure draws a deep breath. Silence yields to a great, slow, rumbling beat. This is immortality of a sort, but its price is paid in diamonds of pain, in treasure by the bucket. In the night, when the wind no longer blows, and small shadows no longer creep, the fortress reclaims its silence. Silence is stone. Stone is eternity. Eternity is death. Chapter 12. South of Shadowlight, which offered no resistance, the land rose and became gorsy, stony, and as wrinkled as my mother-in-law's face. Snow lurked wherever sunlight seldom fell. Trees were scattered.